weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Christians, we have a Salt and Light ministry here that deals with prayer for the nation, because these are the weapons of our warfare. And should the Lord show up and give an inspection as commander, He will find us carrying out our orders. We pray for the nation. We pray for the salvation of the souls that are wicked. But if that's not going to happen, then we pray that God contains them, that God stops them.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Don't forget to stay with us after today's study to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. And now here's Pastor Rick in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 21.
He was ultimately liberated by the Allies and lived to be 92 years old. And one of the things, the contrast that I bring up, the reason why I bring these two men up, these are two men that had watched their beloved Deutschland become ruined by one maniac. And the contrast on how they handled this as believers. And so we have these examples for us, these experiments. We don't have to guess about what goes on in Christianity when a nation turns against the Christians. Now, interesting note, I would like to read this. This is by Martin Niemöller's father, Heinrich Niemöller, who was also a pastor. He was retired. And while Martin was in prison, his father died. He had come out of retirement and resumed active ministry when his son was arrested. He said, "There was a gap in the ranks, so I stepped in." That is rather German of him, is it not? I see a problem stepping up, I'm going to address it. And he does that, and it's a complimenting. It's something that is a noble characteristic when found in anyone. Now, continuing, he says, concerning his son's imprisonment, Heinrich Niemöller had commented, "Yes, it is a terrible thing to have a son in a concentration camp, but there would be something more terrible for us if God had needed a faithful martyr and our Martin had been unwilling." That's quite powerful. That's a dad saying, "That's my boy in jail." But he's in jail for standing up for the gospel. So once again, we have examples that exist for us today, so that we do not have to guess what is our response. We're going to get to a little bit more about these things in a moment. One more from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "For to this end you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Well, what example was that? Well, there were many of them. But one of them, "Peter, put your sword up. That's not how I do it. I can call angels and put an end to this. Pilate, you have no power but what has been allotted to you by my Father." And we continue when Peter, I broke off there. Peter continues in his writing, "who committed no sin," speaking of Jesus, "nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." Now, again, remember, as you are tempted to become an activist for your rights, that you will be locking arms with those who are active for the same rights, but not for the same Jesus. So what does that mean? I think it speaks volumes to us. I think it says, I look, there are lines around me, how far I can go with this and how far I cannot. When I worked with in a construction union, and there would be, this was in New York City, which is a very violent town when it comes to non-unions taking their work, very territorial. And a band of men would get together to vandalize and to threaten non-union workers. That's where my line was. I'm a Christian. I'm not going with you on that. And I really don't care if you don't like it. I serve my God before I serve you. Yeah, I'm pro-union. I'll pay my dues because I have to. I mean, pro-union in that sense. I don't want all the business owners to be meeting me at the door. What was that remark about unions? It's a non-issue to me as a Christian. I go with the laws that I find myself bound by, so long as they do not violate my faith, my spirit, my conscience. My conscience is my awareness, and my awareness is made alive through Jesus Christ. And so we have to know where our boundaries are. God appoints the leaders. In Leviticus in chapter 4, when God said, if one of your leaders sins, one of the statements he was making was, I control the leaders. They are accountable to me. That's with my people in this world. And it will be with all peoples at the great judgment to come. We know in Daniel chapter 4, we should take some of that, God addressing a Gentile king in Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4, we have three of them. The word of prophecy comes to him from Daniel. He says, this decision is by decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. And then again in verse 25 of chapter 4, he says, they shall drive you from men. And then at the end of the verse, he says, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Nebuchadnezzar should have counted himself fortunate that God Almighty had time to deal with him in a special way by bringing such a Daniel into his life. God does not always do that with world leaders. Now, if you're not a believer, you have shut me down. You're not listening to a word I'm saying. You're not supposed to. Because a carnal man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, nor can he know them, for they are foolishness to him. They are spiritually discerned, and you are outside. You've got bigger problems, like the destination of your soul at death, and you will die. Then what happens? Well, then, I think, well, yeah, go ahead, make it up. That'll get you through a judgment with an awesome God. That's ridiculous. I speak to myself when I say that. I remember how I used to think before I became saved. I was utter fool. Satan's little flunky. And not even believing it was Satan. What a chump I was. And it was by the mercy of God that I have escaped such madness. Going back to Daniel. Daniel again says, until you know, the third time in chapter 4, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. You know, before I come out to speak the word of God, so often someone prays that I would have boldness to speak the things that need to be said. If you can't speak the truth in church, then let's shut the doors and not come back. And I appreciate those words. And so what I'm going to say is going to be bold and exciting, and not my opinion, but true. And if you call yourself a Christian and you do not agree with it, I think that you're going to have some big problems with the scripture. But let's get to it. If you were to vote for someone because of the color of their skin, if you are white and you vote for someone simply because they are white and you call yourself a Christian, you are sinning. If you are black and you vote for someone simply because they are black, you are sinning. If you are Chinese and you refuse to vote for someone who is Japanese because of the world history that exists among you, you are a racist at that point. That is not the scriptural way. What we as Christians do before we cast our vote is we choose sides, God or not. There's no other side for us. When Joshua stood looking at Jericho and he wondered how was he going to bring down this walled city, there he saw the angel of the Lord and he challenged him, halt, who is there? Advance to be recognized. Are you for us or against us? Are you for God's people, or are you for the Canaanites? And the answer from this appearance of God in human form was no. I'm not for you. I'm not for them. I'm for God. Now your decision has to be made. Who are you for? Are you for you? Are you for God? Or are you for something else? Choose you this day whom we're going to serve. And so we see that there's this quest for power. And as a Christian, though we don't like it as citizens, that's one thing. That's over here. But our role is to preach the gospel in the midst of these things. No matter what comes through those doors, we will preach Christ crucified, risen, coming again. That is our assignment. Not to get caught up in politics. And so, I have a whole section here I want to get to that will further explain the things that I am saying. But again, our disentanglement is imperative. You might want to write the verses down that I give rather than try to turn there, because I'll be a step ahead of you and then you'll miss out on the jokes. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes what? What happens to him, Master? Unfruitful. When a Christian allows themselves to be entangled in the politics of the world under the guise of righteousness or justice or anything else, when they become entangled, they are choked out from producing fruit for the kingdom. This was the case with Bonhoeffer and Zwingli and so many others. And then there's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And then our obligation, Matthew 22, verse 21. They said to him, Caesar's. When he says, don't you pay taxes? And when Jesus said, well, whose inscription is on the coin? And they said to him, Caesar's. And he said, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and the things that are God's to God. Give to God that which belongs to him, your life, your soul, your conscience, your way of living. That's what Paul is saying here in Romans 3. Let every soul be subject, Romans 13. That is, to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. I don't have to like it. I have to obey it. Acts chapter 4, when it comes to our terms of disobedience. When can we, Pastor? When can we disobey the existing authorities? Well, we're told, again, Acts chapter 4, verse 19 is our first stop. But Peter and John answered and said to him, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you or more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And then chapter 5, verse 29, we read, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So when it comes to matters of conscience, those two, the principal and the athletic director, they are free in Christ to pray, but they must obey the law. It was not as though they could not go home and pray. Now, if the law had said you cannot go home and pray, they should have opened their windows and prayed. But to pray on the property, on the terms of their covenant, they're going to, that's living by the sword. They are, it's an act of aggression under the terms that they are subject to, and that's why they're in the pickle that they are in. And on one hand, it's heartbreaking that in America, you can't pray in school. And that is infuriating. And it makes you hold the other person in contempt, the person who is perpetrating this. And that's the devil. I was sitting in back of a car the other day with a bumper sticker expressing who they thought should have power over my life and that one-tenth of an acre that belongs to Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. And I feel the flesh surging up in me. And it's like, Lord, how are you ever going to reach the lost if we all take arms against this like this? And the answer is, I can't. I've done this before, God speaking. We've had Christians, meaning well, fighting in the flesh when I've explicitly said to them, our ways and our weapons, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Though I am a citizen, and I have rights, and I exercise them as Paul did when he said, hey, I'm a Roman citizen, you can't beat me. It's fine to do that. But when it comes down to it, he continues, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Christians, we have a salt and light ministry here that deals with prayer for the nation because these are the weapons of our warfare. And should the Lord show up and give an inspection as commander, he will find us carrying out our orders. We pray for the nation. We pray for the salvation of the souls that are wicked. But if that's not going to happen, then we pray that God contains them, that God stops them. John's Gospel, chapter 4. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. These are our ways. These are our weapons. We already read of our assignment in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. And then there is our understanding in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. This is what we know is going on around us. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. This doesn't change. When the Constitution of the United States is being violated, we don't say, okay, well, now the Bible changes for us with it. Drastic measures require drastic means. No, it requires faith. requires following the Lord. He continues, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God, perhaps, will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. That's what we're here for. How else are they going to know the truth? We're talking about those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And he continues, Paul does, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26, and he says, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will, to be his little minion, his flunky, his imp. And this is what we're not to be. So our understanding is that we know these things are taking place. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. What target would the anti-Christians have if we did not fight as Christians within the laws of the land? You'd sweep from under them this attempt to separate church from state. They would not know who to fight. They would be fighting fellow Americans on principles in their own law. But when the Christians come and bring Jesus into it amongst those who do not respect or love or care or understand, there's a problem created. Where those lines are, change. It is not constant. Sometimes we can do this. Sometimes there was a time in this country when it was wonderful to have prayer in school. But then the time came when it was not wonderful. And our responses should be constant. Our nature is discovered two places. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. That's Matthew 5:9. Luke chapter 9, verse 55. This happened when there was racism around Jesus. They found out Jesus was going to Jerusalem from Samaria, so they didn't want any parts of him. He could do no miracles there. They did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. That's racism. Verse 54, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? You could put my name there very easily. And when his disciples, James and Rick, saw this, although I would have been the one with the stick, until you get that fire going, Lord, I'll start for you. All the ones that are swollen, those are the ones you need to hit with lightning. The flesh, it just doesn't want to take it. It doesn't want to be abused. It does not want to be violated. Okay, that's understandable. But then God says, well, let me fight for you. How come when we get sick, we say, no weapon formed against me shall prevail? The Lord fights for me. But when someone shoves me, well, until the Lord gets here, I'm going to fight for me. I'm not talking about extreme circumstances. If I'm walking down the sidewalk with one of my children and someone tries to harm them, as a pastor, it's my job to get them to God immediately. Spirit and truth. And so, why I point it out that way is so that we don't think that we are somehow irrational, that we make no sense. We're not being cheated. God is not robbing us of weapons. He keeps telling us where the ammo dump is. Here's your magazine over here. We say, no. I'll do this. And Lord, no, I need you to pray. This is spiritual. There are principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high place. And they're not after who's in government and the Constitution and America and all this stuff. They are after souls going to hell. And the only resistance that I can offer against that is you, my people, the church. And if you fail, there's no solution. And this is why so many whole continents are just wicked. There's just no hope. They'll never change. Through the tribulation period, there may be some help. But up to that point, they will be unchanged. And, let's come back to this. He says, shall we call fire down as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And that has not changed. He is still trying to save the wicked, the contemptible, the disgusting, the foul, of which many of us have once belonged to. And he's doing it through us. And we take one more, our final response. Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. I need these things too. I need somebody to stop me from my flesh. And it is the Holy Spirit. Well, how does he do that? Through his word. And we have an exciting opportunity in this country now to stand up as Christians that we claim to be according to the word of God and not according to how we feel on any given day about some bill or ballot that is trying to be passed. Why are we so surprised when wicked people perform wickedly? I mean, if you were a prison guard and what would you call them? Inmates. I don't know. Prisoners is what they, you know, don't call them penitentiaries. That's what they are. They're there for punishment. You know, this whole, they're there for corrections. No, they're being punished. Anyway, you are a prison guard and the prisoners behave wickedly. Are you surprised? Oh, look at that. How come you're not reading your Bible? What's this prison riot all about? That's not you. Get in touch with your inner self. Breathe, breathe. It's nonsense. That's the place where the bad boys are. And we want barbed wire around them. I'd like some Claymore mines around the facility, too. I mean, we don't want them getting out until they have paid their dues. It doesn't mean that we think contemptibly that they should go to hell or anything like that. We'd love to reach them. But we want to be realistic, or else we cannot be effective because we serve a God of truth, spirit and truth. All right, back to this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. So are we to believe that God is going to give me the biblical knowledge to defend myself in the presence of accusations and lies? Yes. Are we therefore to believe that God is not going to give us the faith and courage in the midst of these things? No. God is going to give us faith. And so don't worry about the little what-ifs under the bridge. What if this? Or what if that? And you're responding to things that never happened, and you cannot focus on the things that are happening. And therefore, the Lord is not available because you're not seeking him according to what is going on right in front of you. Am I going to finish Romans 13? I sense doubt. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I prefer their Hebrew names, Mishael, Hananiah, Azariah. They found themselves in the midst of a vicious regime, as we are finding ourselves heading towards. Listen, something that bothers us about these leaders is their unwillingness to punish lawlessness. That begins to bother us. Then their willingness to defeat law. That bothers us more. And then their sympathy with sin. Okay, as we're considering those things, we have to make sure that we are not guilty of this. But this is where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found themselves. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. This is when they were told to bow down to the false gods of Persia, of the Babylonians, actually, at this point. And we don't have to even think about this answer. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship them, worship the gold image which you have set up. That's how you respond. That is how you put into power the power that is available to the church in the Holy Spirit. And this is what God is looking for from us. And so we come back now to Romans 13, and we are out of time. And so, you who are doubtful are also right. And be encouraged. Paul, you know, he repented about this thing. He says, when Stephen was being stoned, I cast my vote for his death. And he repented of that. And so if you have been guilty of this, knowingly voting against the Bible, repent. Go to God and he will make you whole. Perhaps he will make a bit of an apostle out of you. That means a bit of one who is sent on his behalf. But this is not tricky. It's not complicated. I am a Christian. You cannot pigeonhole me. You cannot make me. You cannot break me. Jesus made me. Jesus holds me. He protects me and he clothes me. but he has also assigned me. And he tells me to go, and I am to go, and he tells me to come, and I am to come. And he tells me to check that attitude, I am to check it. And I'm very happy with that system.
You've been listening to Cross Reference Radio, the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. As we mentioned at the beginning of today's broadcast, today's teaching is available free of charge at our website. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. We'd also like to encourage you to subscribe to the Cross Reference Radio podcast. Subscribing ensures that you stay current with all the latest teachings from Pastor Rick. You can subscribe at crossreferenceradio.com or simply search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes. Tune in next time as Pastor Rick continues teaching through the book of Romans here on Cross Reference Radio.